The theme scripture for this overall study is, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. What is Christian liberty? What does it mean to be free in Christ? That's the gist of what we're going to be looking at all summer. And when I started thinking about this is a huge thing, especially in the church today, in the church in Southern California. What is freedom? What does it mean to be free in Christ? When I look around, I see a lot of times a general attitude that free in Christ means free to be me, free to do whatever I want. What can I do and still be good with Jesus? Can I drink? Can I smoke? Can I swear? Can I go to movies? And if I go to movies, are they PG or R? What kind of clothes can I wear? Can I get away with? Can I wear short shorts? Can I wear my top this low or this high? Can I go to clubs? Can I gamble? Can I go to Vegas? Or less obvious things like, can I talk about someone behind their back under the auspices of prayer? Can I hold grudges or prejudices against people because I don't like them or they don't think the same way I do or they're not in my particular political party? Am I free to push my way or my beliefs on somebody else just because they're right? Am I free to consider myself holy and to judge others? Am I free to walk in anger under the guise of righteousness? Am I free to overeat? Am I free to overdiet or overexercise or obsess on my health? Am I free to hoard and to be greedy and keep all my stuff to me? Am I free to flaunt myself or be rude or cheat on my income taxes? What does it mean to be free in Christ? I had breakfast with my son, Zach, a couple of weeks ago, and we got in. He's very, very strong-willed kid. He's 20 years old. He has a lot of opinions, and he had a lot of opinions about what it meant to be free in Christ. And over breakfast, we got in a big debate over it. He was stating his points, and I was countering him with my points. It was back and forth and back and forth, and it became an argument. And while I was sitting there listening to him, talk to me, Mom, this and this and this, why can't we do this? Because it doesn't say this in the Bible. It doesn't say you can't drink. It doesn't say you can't smoke. It doesn't say, whatever it is. The Lord got a hold of my heart, and he said, Rob, freedom has very little to do with what we do. And it has everything to do with who we know and how well we know him. Because the need to fulfill ourselves with stuff and rights, it comes from a deeper heart issue. Because what we do or we don't do, it's really just a symptom, an outward symptom of a deeper heart issue. And this morning, I wanted to teach on Galatians chapter 5 because that's what the study's based on. And I'm supposed to be giving an overview up here this morning. But God said there needs to be some groundwork that's done. That while I was reading over Galatians 5, and it says, we have been set free by the precious blood of Jesus, but we have not been set free to feed our flesh. We have been set free to serve one another in love. To serve one another in love. And then it goes on to say, and do not walk in the walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Because the flesh is warring with the Spirit. It's a constant war. And then it goes on to list all the things that the flesh does, which are nasty things. Included in that are dissensions and things that, a lot of, we couldn't look at the list and say guilty, guilty on a lot of them. We could say, oh, I'm not a drunk. Oh, I'm not sexually immoral. But do we get our entertainment from sexual morality? Do we like to go to movies where we watch people fornicate, or we watch people commit adultery on the screen, and we say that's entertainment? I mean, we have to say guilty on a lot of that stuff. And we're not free in that. We're free to walk in the Spirit. And then it goes on to say what the fruit of the Spirit is. And the fruit of the Spirit, we all know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. No one can come after you if you're in that. And so I said, how am I going to teach on this? God, what am I going to say? And I was going round and round. He finally says, stop. You're not teaching on Galatians 5. Because the bottom line of our freedom is love. Love is the key to freedom. And the word tells us that love was demonstrated to us by God in Jesus Christ. Freedom is Jesus working in us and through us. Because to know freedom is to know Jesus and to know his love. Because it says Jesus sets the captives free in the word. Jesus opens wide the prison doors. Jesus breaks the chains and the shackles. And Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is Jesus. The whole Bible is Jesus. Love sets us free. And it's not just any love. It's the love that was demonstrated at Calvary. Because, ladies, it's the gospel. It's the gospel that sets us free. It's not rules in a book. It's not being morally right on. It's the love of Jesus Christ. Because the word says God so loved us, that he gave his only son to pay the price for something we could never pay for. Unless we were totally tortured and mutilated and died and sent to hell. God wanted to pay it for us. What kind of love is that? He so loved us. That word so always stands out to me. And so this morning, God wants you to know Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Do we really know it? Do we really know? If we get real, do we really know that Jesus loves us? Not Jesus loves you. Not Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. Me. A good way to figure that out is to look at yourself and say, am I walking in freedom? Galatians chapter 5 says, to walk in freedom, we are to walk in the Spirit. And if we are free, we are loving, we are joyful, we are peaceful, we are patient, we are kind, we are good, we are faithful, we are gentle, and we are self-controlled women. So are we free? Am I free? Because if I am, that's what I am. Because to be free is to be fruitful. Jesus opened the door and he broke the shackles. But have we actually walked out of the prisons? Have we actually shaken off the shackles and run into his arms? Have we done that? There are all kinds of prisons that we can be bound to. Some of us are on the chain gang, where we are bound to others, shackled to others, attached to people rather than to Jesus, attached to relationships rather than Jesus. It could be your family. I mean, is your identity found in your family? A good way to know that is if something happened, would your whole life be obliterated and you'd be a mess? You know, it could be your mom that you're attached to. It could be a wife. Are you attached to your husband? Are you attached to the idea of being a wife, or the idea of being a mom, or the idea of being the perfect daughter? Yes, those things are ministry. Our families are our ministry. That is absolutely right. But are we trying to control our families? Are we consumed by our families rather than being consumed by Jesus? We could be attached to friends. The need to be liked. The need to be in relationship. That just means everything to you or to me. Or my desires and what I choose, what I wear, where I go, how I behave, it's determined by friends. Or maybe you are in a place where you're chain gang to a boyfriend. Where you're so attached to that boyfriend or the desire to have one or a husband that it keeps you in bondage. Some of us are on the chain gang of coworkers where we compromise to fit in at work. Or we compromise because we're afraid to get fired from a job. We won't stand for what we know is right and we know is true. Or we'll cheat a little bit, or we'll lie a little bit, or we'll leave work a little early, or we'll steal a little something and nobody will know about it. Are we chain gang to work? And then we could even be chain gang to ministry. Have our church leaders become our idols? Are we chain gang to a particular pastor or a particular church or a particular fellowship we go to? And if anything ever happened, oh, what will we do? What will we do? Or are we serving as a means to run away from a deeper work that the Lord wants us to do, wants to do in us and through us? Sometimes some of us have served so long, we're actually running away from a deeper work that God wants to do in us. And there are some of us who are attached so much to a minister or a particular church or a particular body that we will actually compromise Jesus. And we say we're doing it for the sake of the ministry. Then there's some of us who are under house arrest. And that would be like if you're attached to your possessions, your material things, your position, everything you own is who you are. Or you have an image that you have to keep up? Who am I known by? Am I known by the woman who wears the cute shoes? I mean, come on. It just gets ridiculous after a while. I mean, you know, I have to think about that. Am I known as an authentic disciple of Jesus Christ? Is that what people know? Oh, man, when I see her, I see Jesus. Not that the other stuff is, you know, can't happen. That was a joke, you know, about the shoe thing. But sometimes that can become more important. I mean, what's most important to us? Are we so self-focused that we're not self-controlled? Then there's those of us who are actually in jail. And I would call that would be a lukewarm state. Where, yeah, you like Jesus, and he's good. But, you know, my life's really about having fun. Being preoccupied with the next cruise I'm going to go on, or the next vacation I'm going to go on. Or it's preoccupied with, you know, where instead of being here, now, present, we're thinking about where are we going to go have lunch after this is over. Or we justify gossiping, we justify cheating, we justify being mean or rude, or not preferring the other before us when we're out and about in our daily walk, or we have prejudice against one particular group of people, or we're secretly divisive or in our heart, or we envy, or we have jealousy, or we're harboring hate. All of those things put us in the jail that Jesus has opened up and said, come out. But we stay there. Or we run back in there. And then there's lockdown, downright lockdown. And that's blatant, what we would call blatant sin. All of it's sin, but this is like the blatant sin locked down. You know, some of us are involved in sexual immorality. I had heard recently that pornography for women is huge. We never talk about it. Some of you may be addicted to drugs, even prescription drugs. Or there's the secret that nobody knows about, alcohol. Or when we're not here, we have a filthy mouth. And we have no control over it. It just came out. Or we steal. Or we lie. Then there's solitary confinement. That would be the prison of your mind. Are your thoughts obsessive? Are your thoughts filled with fear and doubt and anger? Are your thoughts filled with unforgiveness and worry over what's going to happen in the future? Or you have malice or envy coming down? That's one of the worst prisons, the prison of your mind. There are some of you in here today who hate your husbands. There are some of you in here today who hate your parents or unforgiving toward your parents for things that have happened. Whatever it is, Jesus has opened that prison door. And then there are some of us on probation. We're free, we're walking around, but we got that probation officer hanging over us. And a lot of us see Jesus as the probation officer. We're running around performing for Jesus, running around trying to prove we're righteous. Look at all these things I did today, Jesus. I did this, I did that, I did the other thing. Watch me, God, watch me work. And we're running around. There is no probation officer. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And when we start serving a probation officer, we start expecting others to serve a probation officer, and we ourselves become probation officers. Well, look what I'm doing for Jesus. Why aren't you doing that for Jesus? We become legalistic. We start judging other people's works, other people's attitudes, other people's actions, and we get caught up in that. Jesus has said, you're not on probation. You are free. He opened it wide, but he's not going to push us out. He waits at the door. He waits for us to shake off the shackles. And his arms are here, saying, come to me. All of you who are heavy laden and burdened with all this stuff, and I'm going to give you rest. And I'm going to set you free. Faith in Jesus Christ moves us out of our prisons. And his love, the scriptures say, his love constrains us. Are we constrained by the love of Jesus? Because why do we choose to stay? I mean, I can go down all those prisons. I can say, guilty, guilty, guilty. Yes, I'm in this. Yes, I'm in that. I've been a believer for years. And I run back into prisons all the time. What is it? And I keep saying, God, what is it? Why do I choose to stay? Could it be, God said to me, could it be, Robin, that you don't know how much I love you? Because when I say Jesus loves you, and I'm guilty, I know it here. I know it. I believe the Bible. I walk by faith. I believe the Bible. And I know he loves me. But do you know it here in the depths of your soul? Do you know that Jesus loves you? Can you say it here and not just here? Because knowing that Jesus really loves you, that is the truth that will set you free. And I can stand up here this morning and I can jump around And I could have developed a really cool message. Yeah, I could have done that. To try to convince you that Jesus loves you. In fact, it's been said, it's easy to be free in Christ. Love God, love others, and just do whatever you want. Sounds nice, huh? I thought, oh, that's cool. I write that down. I put that in my Bible. Freedom is love God, love others, and do whatever I want. Wrong. You got to go back, way back to step one. I cannot love God. The bottom line is, I cannot love God. The Bible says God loved us. God loved us. And because he loved us, we are given the power to love him. We're given the power to love others. God initiates the love. And unless we know the love of God, we will never, ever, ever know true freedom. We will never be free to love him or to love others. We'll never be free to be anything without knowing the love. And it's not a head love. It's not an emotional love. Oh, I feel so warm and fuzzy. God, pour the blessings. I'm just, oh, bless, bless. I'm not discrediting that, because sometimes we do feel, oh, I feel just loved by him and he just blessed me. But the deeper heart issue, the deeper knowing that he loves you, is a spiritual thing. And we say, man, I know Jesus loves me. He died on the cross. He paid for my sin. I'm saying yes and amen to this, because I believe this. I owe everything to him. I believe that. I read my Bible. Yes, I do. I serve him. Yes, I do. I worship him. Yes, I do. And I pray. Yes, I do. So what is holding me in bondage? Because there are those of us who read our Bibles, who serve God, who worship God, who pray, and who sort of know the love. We sort of know it, because there's something there, and I sort of know it, yeah. But then there are those of us who continue to gossip, even though we claim we know it. And we continue to worry, and we continue to be fearful. And we continue. There are still those of us who are just mean, grumpy, or who are dissatisfied and have to complain over everything, who have trouble preferring the other over themselves, or who hold on to unforgiveness and not love, who have no real satisfaction. There are those of us who have no real satisfaction in Jesus, so we run around filling ourselves with other things. We fill ourselves with overspending. We fill ourselves with shopping. We fill ourselves with over-exercising. We fill ourselves with overeating. We fill ourselves with under-eating. We fill ourselves with anything but Jesus, because for some reason, it's not enough. It's just not enough. I've even seen pastors who are prideful, and they're so caught up in working for God, and they know they're doing it. Man, I'm working for God. I'm going to do this. I'm faithful. I've done it all my life. I'm working for God. And yet, they have not themselves even experienced the knowledge of the love of God, because the knowledge of the love of God puts you prostrate on the floor. It obliterates any kind of pride. Because the true love of God is spiritually known. We need to know him in that kind of way, in a spiritual way. Because if we really knew the height, the depth, the width, the length of the love of Jesus, we would be constrained. We would. We would be moved to the point where we would stop doing some of the things that we do. And I'm not saying that it's going to happen overnight. I'm not going to say, okay, you're going to leave the sanctuary today. You're going to know the love of God so great. You're never going to lie. You're never going to cheat. You're never going to be mean. No. But we move by that love. And it should be a love we're constantly seeking. We're constantly desiring. We want to know more so that we can be more transformed into what God's called us to be. Because the more we're filled with the knowledge of the love of God in Christ Jesus, the more we're going to sprint out of those prisons. The more that we start to entertain going back to the prison, we'll get out. The more we're trying to pick up the shackles and attach them to a person, we'll be more likely to shake it off and stick with the Lord and know that He is the center. Because Jesus cannot be your everything. And that's what He's called. He's asked us, He said, okay, you need to die to yourself, take up your cross and follow me. I need to be your everything. He said, okay, I'm on board. I'm on board with that. I'm on board with that, Jesus. You are my everything. We sing it. Jesus, you're my everything. It's one of my favorite songs. I'm singing to Him, you're my everything, you're my everything. But until I really understand that I am His everything first, He can never be my everything. Because you have to understand that Jesus tells us, you're my everything. And that's how I become your everything. And so this is a difficult thing. And I said, well, how do we know? Paul struggled with this as well. Paul knew, and he's an expert, that there was no message that he could come up with. There was nothing he could say. There was no great words of knowledge he could give people to show them the love of Jesus that surpasses knowledge. There was nothing he could do. So what did he do? He got on his knees. He prayed. And in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, Paul prayed. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. That's what it takes to know the love of God in Christ Jesus. We have to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So we believe, we got the belief, we believe He can do it. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, because when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and by faith we walk in it, we are rooted and grounded in His love. So they are rooted and grounded in His love. Now this is the key. In verse 18, He prayed that they may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And I love the way he closes it out, because that sounds like an impossibility. But now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ through all ages, world without end. Paul knew the only way that we could know that love that surpasses all knowledge is to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit that reveals it to us. We think of strength of the Holy Spirit. We think, okay, I got power of the Holy Spirit to get up here this morning and give this message. I got the power of the Spirit when I'm in prayer. I got the power of the Spirit to go out and evangelize. I got the power of the Spirit. But do you understand? We have to be strengthened with the power of the Spirit to understand the love of God. Because He wants to impart to us something that we cannot know. We cannot know it. He wants to impart something to us that we can't even understand or comprehend on any level. Emotionally, up here, no way. The only way we can comprehend this kind of love is by the Spirit strengthening us in our inner man to know. So that's what I've been asking for 2.5 months. I have been praying this prayer for you, not knowing who you are, but for you, for the last 2.5 months, that you would be strengthened in the Spirit. And he's going to do it because he does it according to his riches and glory. How much are God's riches and glory? We don't know. They're just beyond our comprehension. This is radical, what God wants to do for us. God desires to grant us, through the strength of the Spirit dwelling in us, to know something so profound that our human intellect and our human emotions could never comprehend or never feel. The width, the length, the depth, the height, to know how much Jesus loves us. Do you know? Do you know how much Jesus loves you? Because to know it, it's described in the cross. The height, the length, the width, the depth was demonstrated on the cross. And I could tell you, Jesus loves you so much. He came down here as a man. He did. Left everything he had in heaven so he could commune with man. He could feel every emotion, every feeling, and beyond that we could ever feel. He wanted to know your hurts. He wanted to know your pains. He wanted to know your joys. He wanted to know everything that you go through on this earth. He lived a perfect life. But the purpose for his coming was to take on our sin, our wrongs, our punishment, and die in our place so that we could spend eternity with God. What kind of a God does that? What kind of a God pays the price for sinful man? And he rose from the dead, and he's in heaven now, and he's interceding for each one of us right now to the Father because he loves us so much. It's a radical love. It's a radical love. We cannot understand it. We keep going to the cross, and we go to the cross, and we say, oh my goodness, we're blown away, we're blown away. I mean, I'm blown away every time I take communion. I'm blown away. But I still don't know it to the depths that he wants us to know it. And he's going to keep wanting me to know it more and more and more and more until I go home to be with him in heaven, not home to my house. This love is so powerful, it needs the power that raised Jesus from the dead for us to know it. And that power dwells in you because you have to be strengthened by that power. He says that we are to be strengthened with the might through his Spirit in the inner man, that we would understand this. This kind of love, I believe, will radically change us. And I believe this is the kind of love that God wants to pour out upon his people in this day and time, because there is a work that needs to be done, and there are non-believers who need to know the love of Jesus that surpasses understanding. And the only way that they're going to know it is if we are authentic disciples ministering that love to a lost world. And it's the kind of love, ladies, that if we begin to know on a deeper level that love, we will gladly say, take my stuff, take my stuff. We won't be afraid. If he calls us into a mission field, we won't be afraid. We won't be anger. Get rid of it. Jesus loves me. Bitterness, go away. Jesus loves me. Disappointment? Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have a lot of that. But I have overcome it. I can set you free to walk as an overcomer in newness of life. Did you ever think about the apostles? A lot of people will say, oh man, the apostles, they were radical. They're radical followers of Jesus. Well, you know, I could never be like a Paul, or I could never be like John, or I could never be like Peter. They're just radical followers of Jesus Christ. No! They were not radical followers of Jesus Christ. They were followers of Jesus Christ that were changed by a radical love. And we're called to be changed by that radical love. I mean, what kind of a guy is so passionate that he's persecuted day and night, imprisoned, beaten, and yet he calls himself more than a conqueror through Jesus' love? And what kind of a guy would proclaim, nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Nothing on this earth, no matter what they do to me, nothing's going to do it. It's someone who's been touched by a radical love. John, the only apostle who was found at the cross, who witnessed the cross, I witnessed it, called himself, I am the apostle that Jesus loves. I know it. There was nothing that could stop that guy. He knew that love. And Peter knew it so well that when it came time for him to be martyred for Jesus, he said, I am not worthy to be crucified the same way as Jesus. Crucify me upside down. These guys are not radical. They were changed by a radical love. All the apostles were continually persecuted, beaten, jailed, and most died martyrs' deaths. Yet they would rejoice and be counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus. They would not back down, but continue to spread the gospel. These are those changed by radical love. And God wants to change us with his radical love, that we are those kinds of disciples, that we are those kinds of followers of Jesus. The church has become so dead and so unaware of God's love that we've almost become useless. We consider these guys in the Bible, these guys in the book of Acts, to be radical followers. No, they are not radical followers. They are normal followers. We got the problem. They knew that love, and they were strengthened by the Spirit to know that love, to know how supremely they were loved. They knew that the love was going to set them free to be authentic disciples of Jesus. They were filled with the fullness of God because they knew that love. And the desire to fill ourselves with stuff comes from a lack of knowing that love. And what happens with a lot of us, and what happens to me, is that I kind of get the love. I kind of get it. And because I kind of get it, I kind of follow. I kind of follow Jesus. But please don't take away my house and my furniture and my clothes and my shoes. Please don't take that away from me, God. Please don't take away my dog. Please don't take away my husband. Please don't take away all of my comforts I have here. Do you know that 75% of the people in this world don't even have a place to sleep or clothes to wear? We are so wealthy, and yet we are just so consumed with our stuff. So my prayer for all of us is that we would really get it. Because if we get it, God is going to grant us according to his riches and glory. And I believe that you are here this morning by divine appointment. I am not wavering from that. If you are here, I don't care how hard it was for you to get here. I don't care how much you didn't want to come. You are here because God wants you here, and he wants to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask or think this morning. If you're listening on the internet or wherever, same deal. God wants to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask or think this morning. Because the power of the love is going to set us free. So my question is, do you, and don't answer quick, do you know Jesus loves you? Not Jesus loves Kathy Gilbert. Of course, Jesus loves Kathy Gilbert. Jesus loves Cheryl Broderson. Of course, Jesus loves Cheryl Broderson. Look at her. No. Does Jesus love you? Does Jesus love me? Some of us don't know it because we're so filled with sin. And a lot of things, maybe I touched on some things this morning, or God touched on them. I didn't touch on them. God did it. In your heart. And that sin makes you feel unworthy of love. You are. We all are. It's by grace. It's by grace that God wants you to know he's crazy about you. He loves you so much. And the enemy wants to say, no, you are not worthy. Look at what you did. You yelled at your husband before you came here. You spanked your children. You cut somebody off on the road. Whatever it is that you did today, God does not care. I mean, he cares, but you can confess it and it's done. He wants you to know his love. And then there are some of us who actually had people sin against us. And we're so hurt by someone who has sinned against us. Maybe we've been carrying it for years. Maybe a parent has sinned against you, or a spouse has sinned against you, or a child, or whatever. And we just don't know the love because we're so heavy with the pain of someone who has violated us, sinned against us. God wants to heal that area, and he wants to heal it today. So ask yourself again, do you know the love of Jesus? Because today, right here, right now, we are going to ask the Spirit of God to fall in this place and to reveal to us how much God loves us. Because the fact is, Jesus loves you. And like I said, this is where the study begins. God has spoken a word to you, and he wants to work it into your heart. And the way he does that, Paul, he said, for this reason, I bow my knees. And so this morning, the Spirit's calling. And we're going to have the worship team come out, and they're going to lead us in worship. And we're going to praise God. We're going to ask the Spirit to come. Some of us will want to bow down on our knees. Let me tell you right now, this sanctuary is a free sanctuary. It is a free sanctuary. You will not be judged. You will not be condemned. You will not be anything. If God is calling you to bow on your knees right now, you bow on your knees. If God's calling you to get with another person sitting next to you and pray over each other, you pray over each other. We are to minister to one another. We are not to isolate. But if there is a sister who is in need right now, you minister to her. We don't have an official prayer team. There are some women that I've asked to come stand up here if someone needs prayer, or if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, you don't know him, and you want to know that love, you come up here and you pray with one of the women that are standing on the side. God wants us to get real today. Some of you have been living a lie for a long time. And God's saying, I'm ready, I'm waiting. Let's deal. Let's get real this morning, ladies. Because when we experience that radical love of Jesus, we will be changed. So pour your heart out. Let's get real, let's get honest with him right now as we praise and we worship him and we pray. Seek the Lord now. Because he's calling to you and he's wanting to do a work. And he's wanting to change a generation. Because there's a generation, if you're my age, there's a generation behind us who is desiring to know authentically the love of Jesus that surpasses understanding. And Jesus, we know you came by your Spirit. You met us today, God. You changed us. You transformed us. You ministered to us. You healed us. You revealed things to us, Lord, that we never knew even existed in us, God. God, you are a God that keeps your promises. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And God, we thank you. We thank you. We praise you for meeting us here today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you. God, continue to complete the work that you are doing in us, Lord. Reveal more and more and more and more and deeper and deeper and deeper, God. Thank you for loving us. In your precious name, amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.